Jane Morris is former head of the European Commission office here. Morning to you, Jane.
Thank you very much for introducing a calming note. I appreciate that very much, and that's exactly what I want to do.
Well, the Nolan Show likes to make things calm in the mornings, Jane.
Lovely.
We've been doing that for many years.
Well, can I just first of all say that what has been said about the backstop, in terms, I think it was Jim Allister, wasn't it, who said it was a threat? It's absolutely not. It's the best offer Brussels has ever given to Northern Ireland. It's getting our cake and eating it. And it's staying in the UK and staying in the EU and having everything. We can have it all with the backstop, and we ought to do exactly that.
But do you not think it's a constitutional threat to the UK, Jane?
It's no way.
Breaking off Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland having special status?
Excuse me, that's a load of political rubbish. It is absolutely not anything to do with a border down the Irish Sea. It's ports and airports where the officials, in terms of customs and immigration, are best placed. That's where it'll be. And those ports can be in Larne or Londonderry or Liverpool or Cork. You know, there's ports and airports all around here.
Am I right in saying, Jane, you say, Jane, you can have your cake and eat it,
yes,
is your argument that Northern Ireland would, in having special status, be at an advantage to England, Scotland and Wales? And why shouldn't we swallow that up? Is that what you're saying?
But first of all, I don't call it special status. I call it honorary association, which is exactly the same thing, but is much more important because, yes, exactly, it's Northern Ireland having a status way above anywhere else in the British Isles. I cannot understand how someone like Jim Allister and the DUP are saying no to this, because it's absolutely brilliant.
Well, let's let Jim tell you.
Can I also say that Europe has been good to Northern Ireland? $2 billion they've put in the peace programme, which I helped to negotiate, so I know very much about it. And, it, you know, Europe, it, the sort of the Europe bashing we're getting at the moment is so wrong. Barnier, the European Union, all of them are offering Northern Ireland something very special, which we should grasp with both hands and say thank you and stay in the single market, the customs union and the European Union, because this is an important...
So, Jim Allister, why are you not grabbing Mr. Barnier with both hands and saying thank you?
Because what Mr. Barnier is proposing in the EU backstop is to break up the United Kingdom.
Absolutely not. May I interrupt, please? Absolutely wrong. It's
to annex.
Annexing or anything. It's absolutely wrong. May I please interrupt there and refute that?
Well, you can seek to refute it as much as you like, but the reality is the proposal is to annex Northern Ireland and to retain it within the EU.
Hold on, let's let him make his point. What's the annexing? Sorry, Jane. What's the annexing about it, Jim?
It's about GB leaving the single market, Northern Ireland staying in the EU single market.
It's not annexing, for God's sake, language.
GB exiting the EU customs union, Northern Ireland staying in the EU customs union. GB ceasing to follow EU law, Northern Ireland continuing to follow EU law. GB ceasing to be subject to the European Court of Justice, Northern Ireland continuing to be subject to the European Justice.
And the European Court of Justice has been very good to Northern Ireland in terms of...
Hold on, Jane, one second. Just one second.
Well, Stephen, I have better things to do. This is the nature of this.
Is this because I'm too strong a contender to you, Jim?
Because you're being too rude.
Oh, pardon? I'm rude.
Well, like, Jim, you're not exactly a shrinking
violet
yourself.
I'm not a shrinking violet. I know that.
Well, I think what Jane is doing is challenging some of what you're saying.
Yes, and I'm being.
Just let me speak.
Okay. Well.
So I'm making it very clear.
Yes.
The EU backstop proposal requires Northern Ireland effectively to stay in the EU while the rest of the UK leaves.
Hold on, Jane. One second, then you can come back.
While the UK can proceed to make its own trade deals, they would not apply to Northern Ireland. If goods are being sold to or from Northern Ireland, they would be subject to tariffs as they cross the Irish Sea.
Northern Ireland would be tied indefinitely to EU tariff regime.
The UK can make its own way.
Now let's let Jane Morris reply to that.
That's what it means in annexing.
Well, let's
in causing us to be part not of our UK single market, but part of our EU single market.
Well, let's let the former head of the European Commission office.
Yeah, so I think that's the key. Okay. A Europhile who has made her. Well, way in the world, a reason of being a Europhile, defending
and proud
Europhile
of it.
Philosophy.
Well, let's let Jane reply.
Very proud. Thank you. First of all, can I ask, let's go to the specifics. Jim was saying we're selling pork to China, isn't that right? Well, how come we can sell pork to China if we're in the European Union, and why can't we keep doing that? And second of all, I want to ask him about chlorinated chicken. Will our market be flooded by chlorinated chicken, and that will happen afterwards? So when he's talking products, I want him to specify that. But I also would prefer that he looks at all the rest, and that's because this is not just about a marketplace. This is about the people who cross the border daily. It's about farmers, and that's one I would really appreciate if Jim would look at more detail. Are farmers going to be guaranteed the subsidies that they get? 87% of their salary they get from
their own money
at the moment. No, it's not their own money.
It is our own money.
We receive money in Northern Ireland from the European Union. Please do not keep that myth going. We receive money from the European Union in Northern Ireland. And what about workers?
Sorry, can I answer that point?
Yes.
We receive back a proportion of money we've already paid in. We have been a net contributor in the United States.
Well, that's sorry, in the United States. Hold on. Yes, hold on. Jim, a net contributor in the United Kingdom, I noticed you mentioned. Do you accept that Northern Ireland gets a lot more in than Northern Ireland pays out?
Yes.
Do you accept that, Jim?
I do not, because when you look at our share of the national contribution and compare it to what we receive back, I recall I had figures in that, but it showed that Northern Ireland was itself, believe it or not, still a net contributor.
That's wrong.
The EU does not have any money. The EU only has the money that the member states give it.
All right.
And the United Kingdom was the second biggest contributor to the EU.
Now, let's let Jane Morris reply.
Yes, these facts need to be checked before they're peddled. No, Northern Ireland receives more from the European Union than...
And you tell us the figures.
Now, can I also go on to the question for farmers? Can you tell us
the figures, Jen?
I'm sorry, I don't have them at my fingertips, and I don't want to give them out, and I don't want to be totally attacked on something. Please, you check the facts, you check the figures, and you bring them back. Thank you. I'm not on to cite figures to you. I know the facts, but I want, please, for Jim Allister to talk about farmers. Is he going to guarantee? And by the way, fishermen as well. What's going to happen to fishermen in the Irish?
Fishermen have suffered the most from EU membership. The common fisheries policy has been a disaster. It has opened up our waters to everyone. Well, and our fishermen, if you've ever been to Kilkeel, if you've ever been to Port of Ogie, if you've ever been to Arglass, you'll see they're about a shadow of what they were, courtesy of the EU.
Okay. Where are they going to fish now? And Carlingford Lough and Lough Foyle. Please explain the Irish.
We're going to take back control if we get a proper Brexit of British waters, and British fishermen are predominantly going to fish them, and therefore we're going to reap the harvest of that.
What about the Irish Sea, Jim? What about the Irish Sea? Where's the border going to be there?
Well, there is a border affecting that in terms of the Irish Sea, and you know,
our fishermen be able to fish in the Irish Sea?
There will be. We will fish our own waters, and we will have international agreements as we had in the past, long before we ever heard of the EU, for fishing of other waters.
Jane's saying, will their fishermen be able to fish in the Irish Sea, Jim? That's her question.
There will be arrangements, as there were long before there was an EU, about fishing in seas outside territorial limits, which continue to be free to everyone. You know, there's this foolish idea that, you can't fish here, you can't fish there, outside territorial waters, which are outside, therefore, EU territorial waters.
Jen, rather than asking Jim a question, can you give us your analysis of what he said?
Well, I think with the backstop, you see, if we're staying in everything. As far as I'm wanting the Northern Ireland to stay in both the EU and the UK. The backstop delivers that for us, and that would also allow our fishermen to fish in the Irish Sea. Because, you know, Jim has said it will be open to negotiation, but if by staying in the East, by Northern Ireland staying in the EU, we can fish where we want. And I think these are going to be serious questions on Carlingford Lough and Lough Foyle in particular.
No, we can't stay, we can't fish where we want. We're subject to EU quotas, which limit the amount of fish we can catch.
That's courtesy
of Brussels.
A lot of
those are EU quotas which have strangled our industry, needlessly in many cases, and that comes directly out of Brussels.
Well, the fishermen, this is about conservation, Jim, and this is something that's very important to the fisheries industry, and many fishermen are...
Conservation, because our waters have been raped by Spanish fishermen and French fishermen and others, courtesy of the EU.
That's another foul use of language, and I think that's really inappropriate to talk like that. And I'm
reality.
It's not reality.
Europhiles don't like to face reality, and that's one they don't like to face.
Well, I like the $2 billion that Europe has given us for the peace programme so far.
Of our own money.
That's reality.
Our own money.
Of our own money.
Jim, when you say that you do not accept that Northern Ireland has got more money in than we've paid out, that $2 billion of peace money, are you seriously suggesting Northern Ireland has paid out $2 billion?
Over those years? Certainly. We are a contributor. The United Kingdom's...
Not the UK, Northern Ireland, Jim.
Yes, but we are part of the United Kingdom.
No, I understand that, but you also said that in the Northern Ireland context that we also are losing, and that what we pay out, we do not get back in.
Down,
are
UK
you saying Northern Ireland has paid out over $2 billion in...
Northern Ireland received $2 billion from the...
We got $2 billion back in, and you're saying we've paid more out, Jim, over the same period of time that we've got the $2 billion in. Are you?
You let me answer. Our pro rata share of the UK's contribution, which is of the order of $20 billion a year, before we get anything back, that's what we, as a UK, in round figures, contribute.
Yeah, but how much do we as Northern Ireland pay out in round figures?
We have a pro rata of about 3% of that.
What's 3% of $2 billion?
You can work it out. I think it's something like $600 million.
Right, well, that's nowhere near $2 billion then, is it?
Yes, but the $2 billion is over 20 years.
By the way, please.
Over 20 years.
Well, thank you for helping me with that, Mr. Alistair. Thank you for helping me with that.
$2 billion every year.
Well, I'm trying to understand.
It's from 1995, I think.
That $2 billion is only for the peace programme, and that's cross-community, cross-border.
It's a fraction of what we ever paid in.
Now, that is just for the peace programme. That is not counting money for farmers, 87% of their wage packet. That is not counting the money for our ports, our airports, our infrastructure.
All of which we paid in.
Jane, what about the 17.5 million people in the United Kingdom, Jane, yes, who voted for Brexit? What about them?
Well, while we can respect their decision, which is always a good place to start, but we've got to take account, please, Jim, of the position of Northern Ireland, which is different. And the people in Northern Ireland voted to remain in the European Union. And we have been in a very different position, as was recognised by Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness in their letter to Theresa May.
Very ill-considered letter.
No, it wasn't ill-considered. It was
utterly.
Come on, Jim. Hold on. For example, in that letter, which asked for Northern Ireland to be given unique position, if you like that language. But, you know, Northern Ireland is different. We have a land border with the European Union, and we have dual nationality, which is the Good Friday Agreement, which certainly gives us the right to be Europeans. Now, Jim's, I would be very interested in Jim's position on this as his lawyer in terms of our rights as Europeans, because we can be Irish or British or both, and therefore Europeans. That makes us different from anybody else in the UK.
No, it doesn't. It's nothing to do with it.
Well,
let's restate the basics.
Nothing to do with it.
This was a national decision. The question never was, should Scotland leave the EU, should Northern Ireland leave? my goodness, if you take Jane's approach, then London shouldn't be leaving. London should have special status, because London voted to remain. So the fact that Northern Ireland voted to remain in that sense is neither here nor there. It was a national decision, and therefore it is a national result and a national consequence.
Londoners don't have dual nationality. We do here, Jim. I would appreciate your address.
Some probably do.
Have you got yourself an Irish passport, Jim?
No, of course I don't. I'm very happy with my British passport and long look forward to using it. But, you know, the fact that you can have an Irish passport and a British passport is neither here nor there when it comes to leaving the EU.
It doesn't
provide you with a right to remain an EU, your nation to remain a member of the EU.
But it does provide you with the right to remain a EU citizen, doesn't it?
Whatever, very limited that means.
Well, what do you mean very limited? It means I would have freedom to move, live, work, retire, travel, do everything in the European, in the member states as a European citizen. And that's different from a Londoner or a Scot or an Englander. Please, please, Jim, address this one.
Well, then what have you to lose, if that's what you think?
It's the best of both worlds.
I actually think we've witnessed over the last 30 minutes, it's akin to two boxers who are kind of very evenly matched, going toe-to-toe this morning. My goodness. Thank you, Mr. Alistair. Thank you, Jane. Wow.